Good morning, Victory Life Church. God is faithful, amen. So God's in the business of rebuilding. A lot of talk about rebuilding better and all that jazz. But I'm here to tell you, I'm not trying to be funny. But God is in the business. God is hard at work at rebuilding what Satan has tried so hard to destroy in your life. I want you to think about that this morning. If you're hurting, I want you to give it to the Lord. If you're stressed out, I want you to give it to the Lord. Jesus Christ is the answer to whatever you're going through this morning. And that is the truth of the matter. I'm so glad that you're here. And I'm sure some people are carrying heavy burdens this morning. It's a lot of that just comes along with this season. Yeah, but sometimes, man, we're just going through a lot. Sometimes there's just things in our life that just weigh us down. But let me encourage you this morning, man. Give it to the Most High God. Give it to Him. Well, Preacher Paul, I did that the other day, and my heart is still hurting. Don't stop. Don't give up. Give it to God. Give it to God. Don't stop. And I'm here to tell you, listen up. He truly cares about what you're going through. You know, Jesus Christ walked on this earth for 3.5 years in human, 33 plus years. He walked on this earth. His ministry was over 3 years, but He knows how you feel and He cares about how you feel. I really want you to grab a hold of that this morning. That you're not in this alone, whatever it might be, whatever you might be going through. You're not alone in this. The Most High God genuinely cares about what you're going through. Can I get a witness? So everybody turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 verses 30 through 33 are going to be our main text this morning. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Let's pray. Dear Lord, dear gracious Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for your will being done in this service. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you that you will set the captives free and that we will keep our focus and our eyes on you. Let us receive the message that you have for us and let us walk in it. Let us focus on you during this time. Thank you that you heal the brokenhearted, that you save those that are crushed in spirit. And there is an attitude of thanksgiving and gratitude amongst those that are in this house this morning. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, amazing, precious name we pray. And everybody in the church said, "Is God good this morning?" You know He is. You know He is. So go ahead and give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. So with our verses this morning, a little background. There's this Jewish girl, her name was Mary, and she was minding her own business. And an angel of the Lord named Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Look, Mary, God has a big plan for you. God has a special plan for you. Matter of fact, His plan for you is just going to blow your mind." But God sends this angel to meet with this young lady. And that's where we're at in our text. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Now that automatically jumps right out at us. You have found favor with God, Mary, because we know the story. When Mary's getting this information, she's just meeting an angel. She doesn't really have a clue what's really about to happen in her life. And it says right here, "You have found favor with the Lord." And so let me just go ahead and say this right off the bat. And I'm pretty sure you all got it by now. But just because You are a servant of the Most High God. Not that that's a small thing, but just because you have made that decision to follow Jesus Christ and you belong to God, that does not mean for one tiny second that your life is going to be a cakewalk. Can I get a witness? That does not mean, just because you belong to the Lord, doesn't mean your life is going to be easy or trouble-free or pain-free. And we all know that, okay? But listen, before you were a Christian, it wasn't easy either. Amen? I want you to remember that. Before you accepted Christ, it was not easy either. There was pain, there was anxiety, there was whatever, okay? But now you belong to the Most High God. And we all know that it's in that furnace of affliction is where God makes his man. That is his preferred method of maturing his people. So we need to just understand that through much tribulation, we enter the kingdom. This is a hard road, okay? But the scripture says Mary had found favor with the Lord. And we know a little bit about what Mary's going to go through. I mean, think about what the angel is about to tell her. You will conceive and bear a son. And Mary's betrothed to somebody, but she's not married. She hasn't been with a man. She's the Virgin Mary. Okay. So now just to think about what might be going through Mary's mind a little bit, there's the, you know, what people are going to think about her. Okay. But I got the favor of the Lord, you know, but the ridicule of the neighbor folk. But I got the favor of the Lord. Be ostracized possibly by my family, rejected by my family and neighbors. But I got the favor of the Lord. Okay, well, what about this? This is a capital offense right here. Okay, to have a child, to have a child out of wedlock, to have an illegitimate child in those days, this could be punishable by death. You know, her accuser could round her up, throw her out in the streets and have her stoned to death. This was a very real possibility that could happen to her, but she has the favor of the Lord. You see what I'm trying to say this morning? Just because you belong to the Lord does not mean this life is going to be easy. It doesn't mean, matter of fact, the fact that Mary had to deal with this about what people thought about her. And Mary knew, Joseph knew that this child was of the Lord, that this was part of something amazingly huge, much bigger than her. But this mess, this ridicule didn't just stop with her. Matter of fact, we see it spring up in the Gospels where one day Jesus is in a discussion with the Pharisees and they're trying to slur his name. And they say this, it's in John 8 in verse 41. And I thought this was interesting that this stigma kind of followed Jesus as well as Mary. Okay, so John 8 and verse 41, this is the Pharisee speaking to Jesus. You are doing the works your father did, they said to him. We were not born of sexual immorality. How's that, man? This is what the Pharisees are saying to our Lord and Savior. We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. And Jesus will tell them that your father's the devil. Your father's the devil. And in fact, we know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But I find that interesting that not only did this reproach that wasn't true, you know, probably was there for Mary hanging over her head, something that her and Joseph had to deal with for the duration. But here it's popping up in the ministry of Jesus Christ. But Mary had the favor of the Lord. Can I get a witness? And those are the things that might have went through her mind when the angel left or while the angel was talking to her, you know, but she would not even have a clue about what she really signed up for. You know, she said, I'm the Lord's servant. And that's what we are. That's what we are. You know, if you're a Christian, you're supposed to be the Lord's servant. So we need to start bearing some fruit, right? Now, I'm talking to myself. Believe me, I'm talking to myself. But, you know, we are the Lord's servant. Mary says, I'm the Lord's servant. Your will be done. You know, she didn't have a clue what she was signing up for, but she said, I'm your servant. And she has the favor of the Lord. She has the favor of the Lord. But, okay. Well, let's read this verse right here. They take the baby Jesus, Joseph and Mary, in observance of the law, take the baby Jesus to the temple, and they meet this very interesting guy named Simeon. And Simeon grabs the baby Jesus and begins to prophesy. And so this is Luke 2 and verse 35. This is what he says to Mary. And a sword will pierce through your own soul. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also. So think about that. But she has the favor of the Lord. You know, this life, God doesn't hold back anything from us. Jesus doesn't hold back anything from us. I don't know where and why we've bit down on that apple that we think the Christian life is the easy way to go. That's not the truth, but this is the way that leads to life. Can I get a witness? You know, this is Simeon says, talking about this, he's saying, you are going to go through so much pain and trauma and torment when you see them flogging your son, when you see them nailing him to the cross, when you see him take his last breath and you know that he is completely innocent. That's what he's saying. In a sword or a spear or something pointing is going to pierce your heart. But she has the favor of the Lord. Amen. It's not the easy road, but this is the road you signed up for, and this is the road we want to be on. Can I get a witness? Okay, now look, and the angel says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. For you have found favor with God. Do not be afraid. Angels always say that, by the way, when they appear. They're big, scary beings, man. I mean, if an angel was to pop up in front of us right now, you know what? If an angel appeared right now, and I believe they're here, but if an angel was to appear right before us, you know what we'd want to do? We'd be freaking out, and we would be compelled to want to worship them. They are that amazing. But we would be filled with fear as well. You know, that John the Revelator, when he was talking to the angel, and he saw all these amazing things, he wanted to worship this angel. And the angel's like, no, I'm a servant of the Lord just like you. I'm a servant of the Lord just like you guys, right? We all belong to the Lord, and we are here to serve him. But see, this angel appeared and he said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You have the favor of the Lord. And we know a little bit about Mary's story, what she's going to go through and all that. But the angel says, don't be afraid. See, God has peace for each and every one of us. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what's going to happen down the road, but God does. Right? Amen. Can I get a witness? But the message is the same. Peace. Don't be full of fear. Matter of fact, here's a special little verse I want to share with you guys. Psalm 34 and verse 18. And let this minister to somebody this morning. Psalm 34 and verse 18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Let me read that again. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Nobody likes to be brokenhearted. But see, when we belong to the Most High God, and you know, we want to serve God, and hopefully we're doing everything in our power, and we're listening to the Holy Spirit, and we're being obedient to Scripture, and we have the favor of the Lord because we belong to him. But we know that life's not an easy life. We know that there's going to be trials and storms and tribulations. That's part of our world. That's part of our life. But God applies himself into the situation. God gives himself, he implants himself into your life during your trial, during your storm, when the waves are rocking and it looks like the boat's going to sink, we can have peace because Jesus Christ is in the boat with us. That's what I'm trying to say. Can I get a witness this morning? Thank you, Jesus. You're not alone. He gives himself to us, the creator of the universe. Okay, the creator of the universe who's holding all things together. Beloved, my friends, he can hold our world together. If he's holding all this together, okay, he can hold your world together. Well, my world's falling apart. Hey, grab a hold of him because he's the only thing that's going to stay afloat. Amen. But we're going to be just fine if we hold on to him. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to slide 2. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Jesus was a very common name back then. It means Yahweh saves. That's why they called him Jesus of Nazareth, because there was a lot of cats named Jesus. That was a common name. It was like to say, when you would say your child's name, when you would say your son's name, you say, Jesus, You're saying Yahweh saves. God's going to deliver us out of this grip of the evil Roman Empire. God is going to deliver us and save us. It was a way of constantly reminding yourself, Yahweh saves, Yahweh delivers. This is, his name is a picture of the mission that God the Father gave him, to save the souls of the lost, to set the captives free. So we do have a reason to be excited this morning. You've been set free. And if we've been set free, you know what? Paul Wright needs to stop living like he's a slave, because I've been set free. You know what I mean? I don't have to be in bondage to the things that have held me down for so long. Fear, anxiety, depression, discouragement, despair, anger, bitterness, lust, whatever it is, man. You don't have to be bound by that. We don't have to be bound by that. Can I get a witness? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. So let's look at Galatians 4, chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. You will bear a son, and his name will be Jesus, or Yahweh saves, or Lord is my salvation. Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness, I love this verse. Here's a nice little Christmas verse for you that people don't really talk about that much. But this is one of my favorite verses right here in all of Scripture. Now let this sink in. Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time had come, in that perfect time, in that perfect moment, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. What a beautiful, amazing thing. Yahweh saves. He saved our soul. Let that sink in. Seriously, think about that. Okay, he saved your soul. How did he save our soul? He paid for your sins, man. He paid for my sins. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. You know the story. But sometimes we forget that somebody has to pay for our sins. Somebody has to pay for my rebellion against a God that loves me. Okay? And when we accept Jesus Christ, we're saying, I received that precious gift. I received that precious blood that was spilt for me. Amen. Yahweh saves. Amen. You're blessed. Look at John 3 and verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Let me read that again. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Talking about Yahweh saves. A huge price was paid so we can have peace of mind. Listen, a huge price was paid so that we can have peace of mind. You know, people are passing away all the time. All the time. We all know somebody. We lost a much loved woman in this church, just graduated a couple of weeks ago. You know, we're always constantly being reminded about the fact that this ain't our home, and that we're going to spend somewhere forever. We're going to spend eternity somewhere. Amen. And see, here's the blessing. This is just one of the blessings. It's a big one. It's a doozy. Look at your neighbor and say, it's a doozy. God sent his much loved son. God sent his only begotten son. God sent his son to die on a cross, publicly humiliated, went through all that pain and torment, which his mother Mary was witness to, went through all that so your sins and my sins could be forgiven. That's a big deal. That's a huge thing. And we need to make that mean something to us again. I'm certainly not picking on anybody or talking down to anybody, but I can tell you in my own life, I've been a Christian for a long time now, you know, quite a few years. And sometimes we can kind of forget the price that was paid. We don't fully understand that anymore. But sometimes we can just go on with life in our little Christian world, working the 9-to-5, doing all this. And we can forget, man, that a huge, huge price was paid for my sins to be forgiven. You know what I mean? The precious blood of the Lamb slain before the foundations of the earth. That was for you. That was for me. And so that should be something, that should be something that energizes me to want to be a servant of the Lord. Like Mary said, I'm the servant of the Lord. This is what I was meant to do. I am created to give you glory. I was born to give you glory. I am the servant of the Lord. That's you. That's me. Can I get a witness? Luke 1:32, he will be great. I kind of chuckle when I see that. He'll be great. Oh, yeah, he's great. Ain't nothing like him. Yep. He will be great. And, you know, sometimes the English language doesn't really have the right word, you know. It doesn't have the oomph or the weight that Scripture is really trying to portray to us or what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us. But he is so much more than great. You know what I mean? And that's a start. That's a beginning. Let's get with our children. Say, God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. You know, that's great. But he is way more better than great. Can I get away? He is awesome. He is awesome. And see, that's another thing, because of the 80s, you know, or, you know, that's when I learned it. But we always said awesome. That's awesome. That's totally awesome, dude. You know, so that word's a good word, but it's kind of lost its oomph too, because we just say it all the time. Man, those devil days were totally awesome, dude. Yeah. Man. That episode of Bear Bear is rocking awesome, man. You know, God is awesome. God is awesome. God is great. God is awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome, as in awe-inspiring. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn. I already read that. Verse 32. What are you going to do? Verse 32, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. He will be called the Son of the Most High. Let's look at the verses we just read real fast, talking about Jesus is the Son of God. Let's look real fast. Let's go back to Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Look at John 3:17 again. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. Now look at Matthew 3 in verse 17. See, there's just a couple little places that I picked out where it talks about God the Father being the Father of Jesus Christ, if that was ever in doubt to anybody in here. Just a couple more verses. Let's look at Matthew 3 and verse 17. This is Jesus Christ being baptized. He's being baptized by John the Baptist. And behold, check this out. And behold, a voice from heaven. The heavens are his throne, the earth is his footstool. We're talking about God the Father. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. So this is God the Father giving his public acknowledgement or his public stamp of approval on Jesus Christ. He's speaking audibly, verbally, saying, this is my beloved Son and I am pleased with him. So let there be no doubt. God the Father had a Son and his name was Jesus Christ. Amen. Luke 9 and verse 35. The Mount of Transfiguration. So this is a doozy right here. Look at your neighbor and say, this is going to be a doozy. Luke 9:35, and a voice came out of the cloud. This is the presence of God. This is Jesus on the Mount with Elijah and Moses. Read up on it. We're not going to go into it. Peter, James, and John. He's got three of his disciples. And a voice came out of the cloud. Well, I wonder what God's going to say. Saying, this is my Son. My chosen one, listen to him. And that's the direction I really wanted to take this thing with this morning, is we need to listen to his Son. We are servants of the Most High God. And we say, your will be done, okay? But Scripture just said, listen to him. And James says, don't just listen, but do what he says. You know, don't deceive yourself thinking you got a brownie point in heaven somewhere because you read a little bit of scripture. That's good. That's great. But is it awesome? you know what I'm saying? Thanks very, 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 good night. That's what comedians do. They go all the way around, just whatever. And you ain't no comedian. Oh. But anywho, don't quit your day job, right? Don't quit your Sunday morning working for 45 minutes a week job. Luke 9:35, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Don't just listen to him, but do what he says. Yeah, and I mean that because how many times have I missed a blessing because I was like, well, I know what the word says, but I'm going to do this. You ever done that? I do it all the time, man. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we got to build ourselves up in the word of God. We got to feed that spirit, man. And by goodness gracious, we got to listen to that spirit, man. Can I get a witness? We got to listen to the Holy Spirit. Let's go to the next slide. Is everybody doing all right? I'm well. I'm a little warm, since you're asking, a little warm. But I think it's got to be one way or the other. But I am blessed. Luke 1:32, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. So this is a little Mary meeting this angel. And she's getting all this information, you know. And at the end of it, she's going to say, I'm your servant. I'm the servant of the Lord. Your will be done, Lord. You know, but she's getting all this amazing information. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. This is one of these messianic prophecies that is coming to pass right here in Mary's little life right here. You know, so Joseph, Mary's betrothed husband, Joseph is going to adopt Jesus. You guys got that. You understand that, right? So here's the deal. Joseph's lineage, he had a royal right or a royal claim to the throne of his ancestor David. So through that bloodline, here comes Jesus Christ, who is in the line of David as well. This is a prerequisite. This is something that had to fall into place. If the Messiah was not of this line, he was not a Messiah at all. This is one of the things that God had to make sure come together, make sure would come together in the fullness of time, and go ahead and do your research. It all came together. Everything that was promised. He didn't just come to fulfill the law, and he did that flawlessly. And thank God, because we couldn't do that. You know what I mean? But he fulfilled the prophecies as well. Go ahead and do your research. It's flawless. Okay. Now, look at Luke 1:26-27. Talking about Joseph and his lineage. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. That's important. Of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. It's one of those messianic prophecies. Okay, now, get out of here. Verse 33, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. We read 32 and 33 again. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. 33, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And he will reign over the house of Jacob. Who was the house of Jacob? Well, I don't understand. Okay, so we got the patriarchs of the Jewish people. We got Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And through Jacob, we get the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay, these guys received the wonderful promise that through them all the nations of the world will be blessed. And through them there will be a great nation. Okay, the Messiah will come through that nation. Moving forward, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Let's camp on that for a second. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Okay, so where's this kingdom that we read about? Where's this kingdom? Of course, God reigns, okay? God reigns in heaven, okay? But, well, let me phrase it like this. Where's his kingdom here? Well, I'll tell you where it is. It's in Skip's heart. It's in Sister Claudia's heart. It's in Dalton's heart, and that's pretty much it. See, that kills. That every time you do that, boom. You can do it every other week. Like, it's funny because that's out of line and rude and shouldn't be said. Okay, back on track. His kingdom is in our hearts. Think about that. Think about that. His kingdom is in my heart, and Sister Courtney's heart, and Rex's heart. I'm not going to do it again. It's in our hearts. If we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he rules and reigns in me. Okay. So of the kingdom, there will be no end. Well, are we doing our part in that? Are we doing, is Paul doing his part in that? Am I letting him rule and reign in my heart? Because I sure love that salvation. I sure love that peace of mind. Like the angel said, don't be afraid. I don't have to be afraid because I know when I die, it's going to get real good for me. So I got that peace of mind. But am I letting him be the boss of my life? I mean, this is super convicting to me. And I got to share it with you guys. You know what I mean? It's like God wants us to let him rule and reign. Okay, what does a king do? It's not a democracy. It's not, well, you know, Jesus, I was thinking we'd rib it. All God's people go, rib it. Yeah. He's the king. Okay, so we obey him. So we got to know the scripture, right? We got to, and when the Holy Spirit says, don't do that, we need to not do that. Or when the Holy Spirit says, do it, we need to do it. This is what Paul wants to do. This is. I know I'm talking about myself in the third person, but what's wrong with him? He needs to take a nap, I think. He probably does. I'm still doing it. Oh, my gosh. Simmer down. All God's people said, simmer down. Look, his kingdom's in our heart. Look at Luke 17, 20 and 21. New King James Version. Sometimes you just got to go with King Jimmy. Luke 17, 20 and 21. I don't know if I told Brother Rick to do King James. I don't know. Okay. So anywho, check this out. I'm coming to you out of the New King James. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees, here's these Pharisees again. Here's the religious elite always messing with Jesus. But Jesus wasn't this peaceful pacifist. Well, he certainly was peaceful. But he wasn't a pacifist. He knew when he had to deal with something. He knew when it was time to break bad, and he would break bad. You know what I mean? So there is this big misunderstanding of Jesus Christ. He didn't turn away from any fight. He did what he had to do when he had to do it. He just did it at the perfect time. You know? So anyways, Luke 17, 20 and 21. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. What? Nor will they say, see here or see there. What? So the kingdom of God, Jesus saying, it's not like you'll see a king sitting in the palace or a king sitting in the castle or the king sitting in the temple. Not now. Okay. Or you'll see a moat and chariots and a parade and all this stuff, you might connect with a kingdom. See, it's not like that. It's not like what you think when you think about a kingdom, okay? But this is it. Nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. See, how about them apples, huh? Here's his kingdom right here. And God wants us to act like we're subordinate to him and listen to him and obey him, even when it doesn't feel good to our flesh, right? Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen. But we need to understand that God's in charge. He's the one that created you. You know what? He created you. You know, my mom and daddy created me. God was involved. Let me tell you what. God was involved. Without God, it would have been somebody else. But God created you. He allowed you to exist. And he knew you were going to be a sinner. And before you were ever born, he made a way for your sins to be forgiven. Yahweh saves, right? God is my salvation. He says, now I need to be the boss. And we need to start living like that. Amen. Paul needs to start living like that. Let's go to the next slide. Just a few more verses here. I'm going to throw one in here. If you have a pen, you can write this down, or it doesn't really matter. But Isaiah 9:6. We're going to read Isaiah 9:6. It's one of these prophecies about the Messiah. For to us a child is born, Mary's child. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. God gave his son. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And the government will be on his shoulders. That baby's just fine. Hey, don't worry about that baby. That baby's just fine. Cute baby alert, by the way. Y'all check out Baby Rose. But back to the subject at hand. And the government will be on his shoulders. Okay? Now think about that for a second. Jesus Christ is the head, right? Jesus Christ is the head. He's the head of the church. He's the head of the body. We are the body. You are the body. And the government will be on his shoulders. God says, I want my people to start living like they're leaders, like they have a job to do, like they are going to be subordinate to the Most High God. Can I get a witness? Okay. John 14 and verse 15. Is he the boss? Somebody's got to be the boss. John 14, 15, somebody is going to be the boss. And you can't have two. You're going to end up hating one and loving the other. You're going to be an awful, miserable Christian. Believe me, I know that. I know that for a fact. All right? If you're writing a book about my life, which would be pretty much really, really boring, but you could call a couple chapters, okay? You can't serve two masters because I've certainly tried it. You know what I mean? I went back and forth between one and it makes a miserable, miserable Christian. John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, do you love him this morning? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you are thankful for what he did for us on the cross, if that means something to you, he says, if that means something to you, obey my commandments. What is Jesus' commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He can wrap it all up like that. If I love God with everything that I am, I'm going to want to do what he tells me to do. You know what I mean? If I love my neighbor, okay, because I love God, I'm not going to want to do anything that could harm that. That makes sense? Okay, if I love God, I need to obey God. James 4, verse 17. So whoever knows the right thing, ooh, oh my gosh. Okay, now this is a tough one. If I still have your attention, this is a tough one. James 4 and verse 17. So whoever knows the right thing to do, let's be honest, we know the right thing to do. You know the right thing to do. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. For much is known, much is required. All right? And look, we know right from wrong. Right? And if we don't do it, we are sinning. We're purposely being rebellious to a God who sent his son to die for me so I could be forgiven. Amen. Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? I like how it's Lord, Lord. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? That's emphasizing. Why do you call me Lord, Lord and do not do what I tell you? See, these verses right here are very convicting to me. You know, because I have struggled very much with doing what Paul wants to do. And a lot of times what Paul wants to do is not what God says to do. But, you know, he's the boss. He's the boss. He needs to be the boss. He deserves to be the boss. And so we have to put ourselves voluntarily under his rule. He's not going to make you do it. Amen. Can I get a witness? So Merry Christmas. I love you guys. Ding, da, da, ding, ding, da, da, dong. Oh, God is good. Let's pray. Let's pray. If you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you need to do that today. Tomorrow's not promised to anybody. People pass away and go into eternity every single day. It's all over the place. Happening all the time. You cannot say, because I'm a good person, you can say it, but it ain't the truth. Because I'm a good person, God's going to let me into heaven. If God is real, he's going to know that I'm a good person compared to Pol Pot or... That's a real dude from Cambodia. Charles Manson or something like that. Hitler, you put me and Hitler in a room, I'm going through them pearly gates. I guarantee you. No, it don't work that way. They don't... Okay. Hitler might have missed it by like a ton, by a mile, by whatever. That dude was messed up. I think we can all agree on that. I hope, oh Lord, I hope everybody in this church, we can agree on that. Okay. Well, actually, no. Okay. Hitler missed it by a big way. You still miss it too. We miss it. Okay. We sin once, man. We're not good enough. Now listen to me. If you accept what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, you are granted eternal life. You are adopted into the family, okay? So if you want to be forgiven of your sins, if you want to have eternal life, if you want to spend eternity in a relationship with God, then I want you to repeat after me. I want you to say this prayer and mean it. Dear Lord, I am a sinner. I have broken your law. I have fallen short. I know that your son died for my sins and rose from the dead, defeating death. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and be my Lord and Savior. I now turn from my sins and will serve you for all of my days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.